Welcome to the Cap Tech Podcast with President Sims. I am president of Capital Technology University. We're a small, private, nonprofit, fully accredited university in Laurel, Maryland, focused on building and enhancing careers for industry in demand areas. We have been in business since 1927 and focus on STEM or management of STEM degrees at the bachelor's, master's, and doctoral levels. Today, we have Ms. Marianne Mines, Senior Vice President for Enclave Networks Incorporated with us. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Could you give the listeners an overview of your background in industry?
Yes, it'd be a pleasure to do so. I've really been very blessed with the opportunity to see into some pretty exciting missions and very important national security imperatives as they touch our critical infrastructure. So I will, you know, start with that. You know, starting back in the West Coast, went to school at UCSD there and really got started right away. And I'd recommend folks that are in the educational pursuits to look at internships and, you know, jobs like I was able to get as a part of the university experience, was a research assistant into the Navy control systems side of systems integration and engineering complexities. And that just got me started. So I went right from that into working some Navy programs as a part of California Space Institute, which was a part of Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and even some early classified work with Navy systems and at-sea cruises that supported. At the Center for Hydrooptics and Remote Sensing, we were dealing with, you know, signal transformation, which eventually developed the maps for the Earth observation systems as the water was mapped in terms of visibility to sea and operational components of Navy mission. And with that, I ended up moving across the United States to take on the pursuit of Department of Defense projects at a higher level and joined an actual small business. So I've been, my career's moved from academia to supporting all types of system integrators across what we commonly refer to as the Beltway here in the DC metro area, and have worked with small companies and large companies, primarily in support of the government mission, critical infrastructure focus with the Department of Defense and intelligence agencies, and missions that included national reconnaissance, and eventually landed at Department of Homeland Security, helping stand that up actually in the 2003 timeframe, and supported some pretty high profile national missions to include supporting the U.S. Cyber Command, eventually before that, U.S. CERT, and some focus on securing the critical infrastructure, understanding the National Infrastructure Protection Plan, and how our critical infrastructure really drives our nation's resiliency. And so with hands-on mission there, ended up most recently with company called Parsons, which I was responsible for the strategy of critical infrastructure and cybersecurity for control systems for some of the infrastructure engineering programs that are around the world. And am now with a tech firm called Enclave Networks, focused on zero trust for critical infrastructure and the Internet of Things and industrial control systems, and really protecting them and providing environments and secure networking capabilities to support the resiliency of, again, the critical infrastructure side.
Well, that's a great background. And as you know, here at Capital Tech, we started bachelor's, master's, and doctoral programs in critical infrastructure. We wanted to be ahead of the curve. And in 2018, we started these programs. Most of them you can get online, some on-campus degrees as well in these areas. And my background being in construction, you know, I really look at things from the facilities perspective, whether you're in industrial facilities or manufacturing, as a critical infrastructure? And if you're attacked through a cyber attack, how will that affect the functionality of the facility? But with your background being in cybersecurity, how would you really define critical infrastructure protection and attacks on a facility, looking at it from a different perspective?
Yeah, actually very similarly. So the critical infrastructure sectors, as they were defined, you know, by Department of Homeland Security good nearly 20 years ago, still are in place today. And they do span, you know, the energy, which is utilities and oil and gas kind of capabilities, the chemical dam infrastructure, the water, wastewater treatment plants and how that all functions, and transportation systems, the communications capabilities, as you mentioned, critical manufacturing, and certainly government facilities as well as commercial facilities that drive, you know, doing business across those areas. So there's a number of other sectors as well. So in my view, the cybersecurity element of that is focused on the fact that there's interdependencies and understanding the actual risk to operations as it traverses the different, you know, critical infrastructure elements and how they are truly interconnected. So risks to the industrial Internet of Things, for instance, is really looking at that true scope of risks and how the industrial control systems and supervisory control and data acquisition systems, which you can have been referred to as SCADA systems, and all the different control systems involved in driving critical infrastructure are interrelated in this digital foundation that's out there. So a cyber attack on an IT enterprise that can you know, be interconnected to these devices can really drive major problems for the operations and sustainment of that critical infrastructure element.
In our critical infrastructure courses, we also incorporate a lot of operational technology issues because we know that's a perfect attack point in those industrial facilities. So in our degree programs, what might you recommend any specific areas that, whether it's our programs or any higher education institution, what should they incorporate in their degree programs that students really should know the details of that would go to work in your industry?
That's a great question. One thing I love about Capital Technology University is the focus on these different areas. So the fields of study really drive home the key components to a larger infrastructure's operations. So I would say you can start in any one of these degree programs and look at maybe even leveraging the fact that you could cross-discipline your actual degree program. So there's sometimes the opportunity for that, especially at the higher levels. But with cyber and information security is kind of you know, a basic degree program that can traverse a lot of different areas. And the critical infrastructure and security intelligence space really gets into more of the mission application and the national security level, you know, program facilities. So those two areas really can feed into a number of multidisciplinary opportunities to take your career forward. On the construction and facilities and safety side, I mean, that is a major area for the actual infrastructure engineering field and where you would be able to participate in, for instance, the smart cities that are starting to be a focus in the modernization of our infrastructure and bringing, you know, smart technology to bear for the future of our infrastructure and cities, as well as I'll even say into DOD. They have the installations of the future and the smart bases construct, which is maybe the military version of a smart city. And that's why I say, you know, the interdisciplinary opportunity within a university like Capital Technology University is a really unique format that you can bring a blend of the different technical disciplines into what would be maybe a smart city future job. And we're really seeing a lot of opportunity in that space, both on the consultancy side and kind of understanding how that smart infrastructure would need to be built and solutioned and supported, as well as bringing in technology and driving the security elements and the resiliency side of sustainment and efficient operations of that smart environment going forward. With IoT and the entrance of 5G, which is a very key component of the future, especially in the smart cities focus area, the devices that are going to be entering our new domain as kind of the interconnected infrastructure are almost unimaginable right now. I mean, the numbers are anywhere from, north of 50 billion in 2025 that we could potentially be seeing as a connected infrastructure. And with that, I think it deserves a lot of attention in terms of focusing your development and your career path towards that communications and securing that interconnected environment.
That's good information for anybody who's trying to build an academic area to support these industries and what they need in it. What would you say if you had a new graduate or somebody even with a master's degree coming out and going to work for either Enclave where you are now, or maybe Parsons where you were before, what might be their typical job title or their duties that their first position might perform?
Right, well titles are funny these days, because some of the more innovative tech firms and even the larger businesses are pretty flexible with the title structure to entice the innovator. And so I've seen very unique titles come out of the future HR organizations. But the more typical titles and job duties are really fall into the software development skills towards the cybersecurity capability is one of the more kind of advanced entry points, where you're able to design and construct cybersecurity related tools to stay ahead of that risk and threat. So that is an area that is very highly sought after. So I mean, a software security or software development background applied to cybersecurity and applied to data science and applied to the organization of critical infrastructure design elements is a key area. The other more cybersecurity technology sides include network architects and security systems designs, solutions architects, and those are probably a little bit more on the advanced degree side, where you're coming in with an appreciation and background and some experience in having worked in larger, complex network infrastructure environments. But there's really a wide variety of opportunities for the cyber engineer of the future and the security critical infrastructure set of expertise.
What would you say the industry demand for these type of jobs would be in today's current market?
Today's current market is full of opportunity, especially when you use the word cyber or security and secure communications and anything that has to do with this growing smart cities, smart bases, you know, the installations of the future. The technology jobs are very available. And I know in some companies, they have hundreds of job openings at any given time. So there's certainly an opportunity to engage in this type of work right out of the gate. I encourage folks to look at, you know, internships prior to graduating to get the opportunity to explore maybe different types of not only companies, but types of work that's available within a discipline, because there are many. And I think entering in the cybersecurity world itself has its own ecosystem of opportunities, which include all the way from, you know, a security analyst and some of the, you know, cybersecurity risk assessment work, to all the way to, you know, deploying tool sets and working to, you know, secure the infrastructure and provide secure platforms for the devices of the future. So this is an enormous opportunity, and the time is here. The IoT, just looking at IoT, the Internet of Things, it is the next, you know, technical revolution, and getting involved in that at any level, whether it's involved in, you know, the devices that are deployed, to, you know, standing up the network infrastructure, to securing that network infrastructure. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity out there.
Are there any specific certifications that you would recommend that somebody obtain along the way?
Yes, certifications are really interesting. There's a number of different organizations that offer the different types of certifications. On the cybersecurity side, I think, you know, Capital Technology University is pretty in a very great position to offer, you know, some of the guidance there. But depending on where you want to head, I mean, the Department of Defense, for instance, if you're interested in that work, there typically are some minimums there. And I think that's where, you know, the Security Plus and Network Plus and A Plus certifications are certainly a minimum. And then the CISSP, as your career moves along, I think you need a couple of years of experience and some projects under your belt before you're able to apply and take those tests. That's another credential that you should look at along the way. And I'm not really a fan of just, you know, certifications for certifications, but there's certainly some organizations to track on rounding out your access to different scenarios and use cases that would be applicable to building your career and your ability to serve a mission and a critical infrastructure. And those, you know, include SANS and some of the other organizations that offer industrial control systems related specialties. And there's also some, you know, meetups and things out there, believe it or not, that are pretty interesting that you can just sign up. And one of them that I'm a part of is the Control Systems Cybersecurity Association International. It's a CS squared AI, and it's pronounced CSA. And it's actually a global organization with local chapters. And this last year they went virtual like everybody else. And you could actually attend chapters from other parts of the world and other parts of the regions and get some new insights into the problems of the day. But they've included all kinds of, you know, practical education on walking you through, you know, applying the zero trust technology to the industrial Internet of Things, and all the way from that to a MITRE study on how the MITRE, you know, attack framework works and things along those lines. There's a tremendous amount of resources out there. If you, you know, study some of the NIST standards, there's reference architectures, and there's an opportunity to do a lot of kind of on your own learning, as well as the formal certifications that can bring value to your career and to your projects.
Yeah, and those organizations, they provide a good networking opportunity as well. Would you recommend any specific associations one should join to really expand their network in these areas?
Oh, yes, actually. I mean, there's a number of conference opportunities. This year has been different. So I think there's both been more opportunities and less opportunities to do that kind of true networking. So I think some of the folks really would enjoy the face-to-face opportunities. There are conferences like, I know we're a part of the Industrial Control Systems Village that participates in DEF CON and some of the Hack the Building and Hack the Capitol. And I think they had the Hack the Planet 1 year, which was really playing out the different scenarios and attacks against critical infrastructure and how to protect against those. And a lot of that now is available in webinars online, but that's more of a one-on-one viewing. Whereas the meetup is truly, you know, a good 30 or so folks that get on the line and talk through things. When you're in your corporate environment, if some of the companies actually join some of the larger associations like AFSCEA and the Professional Services Council, and there's some really nice nonprofits around the Beltway here called like CyberBytes is an educationally oriented organization down in Stafford County, right out of Quantico. So there's a lot of opportunities to engage formally and informally. And also there's, you know, universities have really good labs that you can engage in through your studies and participate in some of the enhanced learning as well. And I think there's another opportunity too, and that's the educating our future workforce, which starts at the STEM level. And there's organizations that you can engage and volunteer and enhance your learning by giving back to the younger generation that's in the beginning days of early education. And actually the learning that's going on there is pretty sophisticated. These, you know, robotics clubs and things like that are bringing out some, you know, high level capabilities that are just as good as some of the things that are happening at the mission level. So it's you can have fun while really building your experience and getting some scenarios in a unique way.
Yeah, speaking of DEF CON, I mean, Capital Tech was been involved with DEF CON for many years. We were one of the only few universities invited many years ago, and we've been continuing to go every year, and it's only grown for us, our participation, and we continue, of course, look forward to coming back to Vegas next year. I know it's a mixed kind of half online and half locally there in Las Vegas this year for DEF CON, but it's a great venue. In the area of security clearance, you know, we have so many employers around the region, of course, that require security clearance. We have so many, as a matter of fact, that Capital Tech has classes on helping our traditional undergraduate and transfer students understand how to complete the clearance forms and applications, because so many of our employers, whether it's NASA or another subcontractor or three-letter agency, are hiring our graduates. We're trying to help them out and prepare them for the potential of being security cleared. How important is that for your industry to have a security clearance?
It's definitely a door opener and an accelerant in terms of jumping into significant mission. So I support that wholeheartedly. I love to hear that the university is so proactive in helping that process along. And that is actually one of the advantages to taking on an internship with some of the companies around the DC metro area specifically. We were able to, and some of the companies I worked with, the larger companies that had projects that could involve the junior positions, we were able to clear candidates through their internship. And at the point of graduation, they were able to join in as a fully cleared individual in some of the most exciting, sophisticated missions that our nation really has to offer a career. So I am a big fan of that process. And I encourage people to, you know, embrace that and take it on. It is, I would say the opportunities open up more broadly when you have that clearance. It's not, you know, it's not impossible to get, you know, a nice healthy career, you know, without a clearance for sure, but it definitely gives you a larger set of opportunities to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, I went through my security clearance for my first job out of the university when I worked at the Savannah River site. And I had, you know, kind of wished that the university had provided me some information about what I was going to be completing on that long form back in the 90s. But we are here to help our students be successful. So that's just part of our process of helping them build their resumes, understanding security clearance, understanding business etiquette skills, and the works. We want all of our undergraduates to be successful. What would you say for a career changer who maybe is not in this area, but they see the career opportunities? What would your advice be to a career changer trying to move into this type of area?
I would say jump in with both feet. I mean, there's definitely opportunities. There are a lot of good cross-training programs and support for that transitional future employee. There's, depending on where you're starting from, I think you can take, steps along the way of that transition. But, you know, starting, for instance, from maybe an infrastructure engineer that's focused on one type of operations and moving into the cybersecurity to support securing that operations would be, you know, potentially one path. Another, I've seen some unique analytical skills that were more, you know, not security related, or maybe a financial analyst that was able to jump in and bring that analytical skill set right over to the intelligence analyst side of, you know, supporting a mission and then moving into cybersecurity from there. So there's certainly, I think there's a path for anybody who wants to make that transition. And I know the university professors and support staff would be happy to help somebody see into that path that would make sense to make a transition.
Is there a value for somebody going back to university and obtaining a master's or a doctorate in these areas?
Oh, 100%. I think I'm a big advocate of ongoing learning. And when you can formalize it, especially a program such as, you know, Capital Technology University, where they, I think, really have focused in on the state of the art and the, you know, best in class programs for the future, not only the present, and you know, things like cyber psychology, you know, coming out right up front as a front runner in that. And I think, you know, keep your eyes open on where you could enhance and take your career to the next level by that extra master's degree and the focused studies. A doctoral program is a very exciting level, and bringing forward the opportunity to take that applied research and move it forward to, you know, studying areas that are really needing some significant answers. And I really think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity there.
Speaking of the future, you're of course in an area where things advance quickly, but if you can step back and project out maybe for the next few years, up to 5 years, what do you see from a high level point of view affecting the industry that you're involved with, and what should folks be on the lookout for the next few years in that industry segment?
Going to be a pretty heavy focus for at least the next 5 years, and how that brings, capabilities to how we live, and, driven by things like the Internet of Things and 5G. I mean, if you look at the resiliency focus on, energy systems, and all the way from that to a focus on public safety and some of the capabilities that come from early detection for forest fires and early detection on, early flood detection, and how, the systems and the technology can be put in place to almost achieve a prevention of, floods based on that early detection, and some of this, the smarts that are coming together across a interconnected smart city, smart community, and the enhancements of artificial intelligence and big data and data science, and just the understanding of how one trigger might affect the ability to, make that pivot to keep our cities and our infrastructure resilient. That's an area that is just very early in its infancy. And I think that with, IoT being kind of only one facet of the operational technology that drives our critical infrastructure, and, with 5G, it's an area that still has a lot of opportunity to study it, to improve it, and to implement it, I guess. So I would say that's probably the area that is going to be around for a good 5 to 10 years at least.
Yes, yes. And anything else you want to add? We're coming to the end of the podcast.
Well, I just really appreciate the opportunity to, have the discussion, and I love what Capital Technology is doing for the community. And I think this, the students of the future have a lot of opportunity ahead of them, and just, embrace it and look forward to giving back once you are on the other side of your education on how to continue to enhance our, and I'm focused on the national security, tenet here, but really how you can give back to our nation and the future of education. Well, that's a great question. I do feel that this smart interconnected world is.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's one great part about being associated with the education, where you can help the lives of many of your students in the future and help them have great careers. And that's why Capital Tech's been in business since 1927, following our founder, who was a Navy vet that started teaching individuals how to build radios. We follow through that commitment today. All of our degree programs are about building careers for our students, or enhancing the careers of our students, and we continue to do that. So I want to thank you, Marianne, for coming on the podcast today. And I want to let the listeners know that Marianne Mines, she's a Senior Vice President for Enclave Networks Incorporated. She can be found on LinkedIn. If you go check her out, you might want to LinkedIn and connect with her there. She's a great asset to our critical infrastructure industry. She is wealth of knowledge. And thank you for taking your time today to be on the CapTech podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.